Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. We'll get there in a little bit, but this morning we're going to start a series of messages called Win the Day. And, you know, if you want to, as it says out front, if you want to change your life, you've got to change your story. Amen. You've got to change some things. And yes. This series is more about talking about making some life changes, changing some habits. In the Christian world, we call it sanctification. Amen. There's some things that you can do to change and to live a more godly life, to draw closer to God. And we'll get into this more and more. But as I said, the big idea for this morning, the big idea for this whole message series is if you want to change your life, you have to change your story. Amen. According to psychologists Matthew Killingsworth and Daniel Gilbert, the average person spends 46.9% of their time thinking about something other than what they're doing in the present moment. So some of you right now are thinking about something else totally different than church this morning. Amen? No? Praise the Lord. That's good. In other words, we're living somewhere else, living in the wrong time zone. Too often, we're depressed about the past. We're worried about the future. We're distracted. We're frustrated. We're overwhelmed by this, that, and every other thing that arises in our lives. The reality is that most of the time, we're half present. Half the time. Which, when you really think about it, we're only living half the life that we could be. Half the blessings that we can enjoy. The enemy uses this to rob us of our joy, uses us to rob us of our faith. Most importantly, he uses us to rob us of our peace. The only way to be fully alive and fully present is to live in the moment. You have to be conscious of what's going on around you. You have to take it, you know, anybody remember that old TV show, One Day at a Time? Amen. You've got to live it one day at a time. This isn't just a good idea or something for the sermon. It's a God idea. I'm going to read some scriptures here, but I'm not going to really just give you an overview. Matthew 6:11, Jesus says, "Give us this day our daily bread." In Luke 9:23, we are to take up our cross daily. Psalm 118:24, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it." Lamentations 3:22 and 23 says, "His mercies are new every morning, every day." Amen. Matthew 6:34, he says, "Don't worry about tomorrow." Amen. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." So we have to realize that yesterday is history. There's nothing we can do about it. Tomorrow is a mystery. We don't really know what's going to happen there. Our focus should be on to win the day, win this day. That's it. I have no idea what goal you're going after, what things you're believing God for. Some of you I do, but some of you I don't. What problem you're trying to solve, what habit you're trying to break, or new habit that you're trying to build. But I believe the secret to your success is it's going to happen one day at a time. You have to win the day. You have to win this day. You have to get up and do it all over again the next day. If you do it 2 days in a row, that's a winning streak. Amen? How many of you like to win? Amen? Nobody likes to lose. Amen. I hate to lose. We know, yes. I do not lose very good graciously. It's something I'm working on. Pray for me. Amen. In the Christian walk, making changes in your life is called sanctification. The thing is, it's easier said than done, but you can do it and you will do it if you get into the things of God and you begin to trust God and you put it into practice. It's estimated that 75% of New Year's resolutions fail within the first month. Why is that? It's because you're looking at a year timeline. It's something that's overwhelming. You get into it and you feel like quitting the first week or so because you're like, I can't do this forever. Amen? The thing is, we're going to ask this question and we'll come back to it a few times during this series. Pick a habit, a change you want to make or need to make, or any action in your life that needs attention, and ask yourself this question: can you do it for a day? You have to take your life goals and your journey with God, and you got to break it down. And you want to say, well, I want to be like that. I want to be that person of faith. Well, you've got to back it up and break it down. I got to do those things today to make it, and then do it the next day. I got to break that bad habit. I got to break, you know, my language. I got to break those things. How many of you, when you got saved, that there were some things in your life that were just easy peasy and other things that it was work? Yes. Amen? I mean, I've shared many times, I was 25 years old when I got saved, drank almost every day except on Sundays when we went to church. What a hypocrite, right? Drank almost every day, and when I got saved, I've never had another drop of alcohol since that night. God set me free. Now my tongue and my language was something different. It took me a while. Amen? I worked in the tool and die industry. That language there was just, you know, they would make sailors blush, so to speak. So, you know, that's something you had to learn. You just couldn't do it. It's sanctification. It's daily, doing that daily. Amen? You've got to say, well, I'm never going to cuss again. And then when you do it, you feel like you fail. Or I'm never going to do this again. And when you do it, you feel like a failure. And you just quit and say, well, I can never do this. Yes, you can. The only ceiling on the changes, these actions, the deepening of your intimacy with God, and the impact that you can have on the world is the things that you choose to do daily. So we're going to look over the next few weeks, we're going to look at some of these spiritual disciplines or habits that's going to help you stress less and accomplish more in your life. More for your family, more for yourself, but more importantly for the kingdom of God. Hopefully you found Ephesians 3:20 by now. But it says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. You are capable of more than you can imagine. Amen. God wants to do more in your life and through your life than you can imagine. Amen. A key point in why so many resolutions that people make each new year fail is you just can't flip the calendar and expect everything to change. You have to flip the script. You've got to change your story. There's two kinds of change. One kind is behavioral. It's doing something more or less. And it can be a quick fix. But it may not last. You ever went on a diet? And you made changes to where I'm not eating this type of food, I'm not doing that. And you do it for a while and you lose weight. And then down the road, a month or two, you start slipping back and you start going back and you're eating the same things all over again. And you gain all the weight back. If you don't shake your head, nobody knows that's you. It's me, though. But there's another important change that impacts you over the long haul, and that change is conceptual. It's your mind over your matter. That's where deep, long-lasting change happens. Everything starts with a thought. Amen? The first creation is mental. The second creation is physical. Everything was once a thought, including you. Look at Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. I'm going to read it from the Message paraphrase. It says, "Before I shaped you in the womb, I knew all about you. Before you saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you. A prophet to the nations, that's what I had in mind for you." It's God speaking. You don't just bear His image. You weren't just made in His image. You, particular you, was His idea. You're His workmanship. You're a unique expression of God's imagination. You are valuable and precious in the sight of God, and to see yourself as anything less is to believe a lie. And the enemy works on people to have people have such low self-esteem, have such a bad view of themselves. I can never do anything, can never do anything for the kingdom of God. That's a lie. Why? Because God can do more than you could ever imagine or think because of the power that resides on the inside of you. When you make Jesus the Lord of your life, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell on the inside of you. You've got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you to empower you, to strengthen you. Amen? To lead you and to guide you. And you can do anything that God points out to you, that God puts into your mind, you can do it. Amen? There never has been, never will be anyone like you. Amen? It's a testament to the God who created you. You say, "Well, you don't know my past." No, I don't. But that's your old story. If you're still living in that old story and still turning back the chapters in that book, guess what? You're still going to be living there. You've got to close that book and you've got to start rewriting a new story. Amen? Praise the Lord. No one can worship God like you or for you. No one can do what God has called you to do like you can. Praise the Lord. The biggest return on investment that you will ever have are the internal habits that no one sees. It's that internal monologue. It's the way you interpret and explain your experiences to yourself. It's the stories that you tell yourself day in and day out. We'll get into this a little bit further. You've got to change your story. On average, we have about 60,000 thoughts that fire across and through our mind every single day. 60,000 thoughts. According to a study done by the Cleveland Clinic, listen to this, 80% of those thoughts are negative. It's the truth. That's a problem. Amen? We still see things, no matter, even Christians, people who believe the Word of God, people that have been set free, people, they still have negative thoughts. Stinking thinking. Amen? We've got to get rid of that stinking thinking. We've got to renew our minds. The problem, it says in the book of Proverbs, is as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you constantly keep seeing yourself as that old person, as that old story, you're never going to advance and change your story and move on with God. Amen? Your thoughts have a psychological and physiological effect on you. Your thoughts have the power to lower or raise your blood pressure. Amen? I mean, a few weeks ago, I'm watching the Bengals game. And my watch, my smartwatch, sometimes it's like, just shut up. But it alerts me. It says, your heartbeat is over 120 beats per minute. And it did it several times. It's like, gives me an alarm. Your heartbeat's 120. And usually my heartbeat's around 70, 72. Normal resting. I'm sitting on the couch. But my thoughts, you know, those 33 years of frustration as a Bengals fan just kept coming back and kept coming back. So it can have an effect on you, right? It can slow your pulse, it can boost your immunity, or it can do the exact opposite of those things. The battle is won or lost in the mind. The stories, the narratives you tell yourself, like things are never going to change, everything always goes wrong for me, I can never catch a break. Those narratives that you tell yourself are far more important than the actual situation that you find yourself in. You've got to realize that those narratives, those things will keep you where you're at. You've got to flip the script. Amen? Look at Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50. We don't have time to go through this whole narrative, this whole account of Joseph. But if you read the narrative about Joseph, you will see that as a teenager, he had a dream. He had a dream that his brothers and his father basically would one day bow down to him. He makes the mistake of telling his brothers and his father about his dream. And as we know, his brothers didn't receive it real well. Amen. So they fake his death, they sell him into slavery, life goes from bad to worse. Joseph ends up in prison for a crime he did not commit. He experiences being lied about, forgotten, and abandoned. If anybody could have played the victim card, it's Joseph. But here in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, after the death of Isaac, he says, As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result to preserve many people alive. When you read the entire passage, we read that Joseph sees things differently. 13 years after selling him into slavery, his brothers come knocking on the door begging for food because of a famine. His brothers bow down to him. It's many times they bow down to him after that. Can you imagine what Joseph had to be thinking about? He must have felt the vision that he had seen at 17. The vision that went off the rails, so to speak. The vision that took a wrong turn. The vision that seemed so far away. The vision that didn't seem possible is fulfilled. Maybe God's given you a vision. Maybe God's showed you something of where your life is to be, and you're like, I can never get there. All these things have happened. God showed me a long time ago that I was supposed to do this, and I've never got there. It's never too late. Amen? Stay with it. Change your story. Joseph, who had experienced all the pain, all the suffering, all the twists and turns, and this is what he says, that God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done. I mean, how's that possible? It's because Joseph flipped the script from being a victim to being victorious. We have to do the same thing. His faith and his trust that he developed in Almighty God helped him through all those things. Look at Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54, verse 17. I'm going to read it from the Amplified Version. It says, "But no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper." Hallelujah. "No weapon that is formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that shall rise up against you in judgment, you shall show to be in the wrong. This peace, righteousness, security, triumph over opposition is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, those in whom the ideal servant of the Lord is reproduced. This is the righteousness or the vindication which they obtain from me. This is that which I impart to them as their justification, says the Lord." No matter what the enemy throws your way, no matter what the enemy comes against you with, that word prosper means it will not succeed. Doesn't mean they're not going to come. It doesn't mean the enemy's not going to try. It doesn't mean that bad things aren't going to happen in your life. It just means that God is going to be there and he's going to help you through and make you win and make you victorious in the end. Hallelujah. Joseph didn't get mad at God. It's the way he perceived things and how he explained his experiences to himself. It's the stories you tell yourself day in and day out that'll make a huge difference in your lives. Amen. If you're always playing the victim card, "Well, I grew up this way," or I never had those advantages, you're just going to stay in the same old story. Say, "Well, my grandparents, they both had anger issues. My parents had anger issues. I'm going to have anger issues my whole life." That's not what the Word says. Amen. "I grew up poor. My parents were poor. My grandparents were poor. I'm going to be poor my whole life." That's not what the Word says. Amen. We need to flip the script, change what we're thinking on. Amen. Look at Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8. What are we thinking on? What are we thinking about? What is it the things that are rolling around in our mind day after day? Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, then you will have success." Hallelujah. And he tells him in verse 7 and in verse 9 to be strong and be courageous. Why? Because it's not going to be easy. Amen. You're going to have to be strong. You're going to have some courage. You're going to have some faith. You're going to have to step out and do some things. You're going to have to change your mentality from being a victim to being a victor.
Yes. Amen.
Because the Word of God says that you are the victorious, that you are an overcomer. Amen. It says that God will never leave you nor forsake you. You may have been left, you may have been forsaken, but God never will do that to you. Amen. So if you want to flip the script, you have to get three things settled in your mind. Number one, you have to know your name. You have to know who you are. More than a century ago, Charles Horton Cooley, founder of the American Sociological Association, said this: "I am not what I think I am, and I am not what you think I am. I am what I think you think I am." It's kind of a tongue twister. Some of you are looking at me like, what'd he say? I am not what I think I am. I am not what you think I am. I am what I think you think I am. It's basing our sense of self and self-worth on how we believe others see us. What do you believe that people see in you? Our sense of self comes from a lot of different sources. Sometimes it's as simple as someone saying you're good at that or you're bad at that. It's letting other people narrate your story. It's living your life according to the expectations of other people. The only person that you should be living your life to is the expectations of God. Amen? We have to get who we are from the Scriptures. That's who we find out who we are. Amen? That's how you flip the script. Remember Joseph in the book of Genesis. When Joseph finally reveals who he is to his brothers in Genesis 45:3. He says, "I'm Joseph." And we read right over that a lot of times. There's a lot of things that we just read over them until the Holy Spirit might point it out to us sometime. Say, well, he's Joseph. Joseph knows his name, right? But remember, when Pharaoh made him ruler of everything, paid him second in command, he gave him a different name. Remember that? Called him Zephanath-Paneah. So he had been going by that name. But Joseph knew who he really was. Amen? It would be easy for Joseph to forget who he was. As children of God, it's easy for us to forget who we are. Because the enemy and our culture will bombard you with those things. Culture will name you. Other people will name you. Other people will try to put their expectations on you. Amen? It will label you. It will try to define you. You have to know who you are. But more importantly than that, you need to know whose you are. Because the Word of God says that you are blessed, that you are chosen, that you are blameless, that you've been adopted by the Heavenly Father, that you are redeemed, that you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Amen? You're formed in the image of God. You need to know who you are. You want to flip the script in your life, you need to get into this Word and find out what the Word says about you and what the Word says you are and who you are. If not, you're just going to keep going down the same old path. You'll get some victories and you'll lose. When the enemy starts talking to you about who you are in your past and you can never be forgiven and you can't do this and you can't do that, you need to get into the Word and you say, well, that's what you say I am, but this is who God says I am. Amen? Look at Romans chapter 12. Everybody doing okay this morning?
Yes.
Romans chapter 12. The world will try to put you into a box. The world will try to make you conform to who they say you are. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." Hallelujah. That word transformed in the Greek is the Greek word metamorphos. It's where we get the word metamorphosis from. It's a marked change of character, conduct. You've taken on the nature of God, the very nature of God, when you become a new creation in Christ. So, you need to start thinking differently. Don't see yourself as the world sees you. Don't see yourself as the old story sees you. You need to flip the script and start seeing yourself every day. Say, well, I've done that in the past. Well, do you believe everything that the Word says about who you are? Do you have the victory every day? When the enemy starts trying to make you feel depressed and make you feel less than who you are, you need to get into the Word and say, nope, 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 that's not who I am. That's not my name. Amen? The second thing you have to do is you have to fix your focus. Your focus really determines your direction, determines your reality. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. The New American Standard reads, "If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth." Hallelujah. Set your mind and keep them set on the things above, is what the Amplified Version says. Hallelujah. We got to change our focus. If you're looking for an excuse, yeah, you're going to find one, as the old saying goes. If you're looking for something to be grateful for, you'll find it. If you want to change your story, you have to change the script. You have to change your focus from being negative Nancy to positive Penny.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
You ever been around somebody that's just negative all the time? It is. It's exhausting. Just wears you out. And you're trying to pump the word into them and build them up and everything. And they're like, oh yeah. And then the next thing that comes out of their mouth is something that's negative. That's a hard thing to break. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You have to change your focus. If you always focus on the negative and speak that over your life, guess what's going to happen? Bad things are. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, it says in the book of Proverbs. You're speaking life, things are going to change. If you're constantly speaking death and negativity, things are going to be negative. Amen? You've got to flip the script. You've got to change your focus. You've got to do it every day. Just because you were negative Nancy yesterday, you can be positive Penny today. But just because you were positive Penny today, don't you're going to be that tomorrow. Amen? You've got to get up the next day, and when those thoughts start to come, you say, nope, nope, nope. Put my focus up above. And when you do that every day, you get that winning streak going, it gets easier and easier.
Yes, it does.
Amen? gets easier and easier. Praise the Lord. If you speak those negative things and you're always speaking that things will never change, my life's always been like this, you'll stay depressed, you'll stay the victim. Flipping the script is telling yourself a different story about what is happening. I mean, Joseph could have played the victim card. He could have also played God and even the score, but he didn't. He was right down the middle. He was God-focused, and he said, God had this. God worked this out. What you meant for harm, God used to save everybody. Amen? We have to fix our focus on Jesus. Hebrews 12:2. The Amplified Version. I like the Amplified Version. It's a little wordy, but many times it brings, from the original Greek, it brings out a lot of the thought. It says, Hebrews 12:2, it says, looking away from all that will distract us to Jesus. There's a lot of distractions that we have in the world. A lot of things that will try to get our focus off of Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith, giving the first incentive for our belief, and is also its finisher, bringing it to maturity and perfection. He, for the joy of obtaining the prize that was set before him, endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So we turn our attention to Jesus, get him off of all the distractions. When we realize that they're just simply that, distractions, we'll be able to change. You have to surrender your life to Jesus. See, there's a lot of people that have Jesus as their Savior, but He's not their Lord. When He becomes your Lord, then you try to really start changing things about your life. Because you're like, I can't be doing that anymore. I can't be acting like that anymore. I can't be talking like that anymore. Sanctification. You need to make Jesus not only your Savior, you need to make Him your Lord. And He's your master, and He tells you what to do. Amen? And it's always good things. He's not a taskmaster. He's not bad. He's just going to give you good things to do. It's always for your benefit. He tells you to quit doing that. It's for your benefit. When He tells you to do this or do that, it's for your benefit. Amen? You give the author and the perfecter of your faith complete control over your life. Editorial control. He can rewrite your story. You've got to give Him permission to rewrite your story. Right? Discipleship is flipping the script. It's rewriting the story, our story. It's taking our cues from Jesus. We learn to love like Jesus. We learn to think like Jesus. We learn to pray like Jesus. We learn to treat people like Jesus did. You do that long enough, win each day, one day at a time, and you'll become like Jesus, and that's called discipleship. Praise the Lord. If you want to flip the script, you got to change your focus. Lastly, number three is you have to know your new story. According to a study done by Emory University, the best predictor of a child's emotional well-being is not getting them into a great school. It's not giving them lots of hugs and kisses. It's not taking them to Disney World. According to the researchers at Emory University, the number one indicator of emotional well-being is a child knowing their family history. Hmm. All of us are born into someone else's story. We all have a family of origin. That's our Genesis story. Our children, if we have children, are born into our story. Our grandchildren are born into our children's story, into our story. It just keeps going. For better or for worse, all of us are born into someone else's story. But the good news I want to share with you this morning, as children of God, we are now part of God's story. When we're grafted into God's family, we are grafted into His story. We may not have had a great beginning, but we've got a different story now. We've got a great finish. Amen. Hallelujah. This becomes our story. Amen. Everything that's happened here, it says, was written for us. It was written, they were examples to us so that we could learn from that, so we could grow from it, so that we could be encouraged by it. Amen. This is our story now. Doesn't matter what all happened in the past. Doesn't matter how you were raised, what the things you did before you made Jesus the Lord of your life. What happened? This is your story now. And you need to know your story. You need to get into the Word, and you need to learn about things. Amen? 1 John 3, and we'll close. We've got two more scriptures, and we'll close. Hallelujah. Maybe. Praise the Lord. I do only have two scriptures. 1 John 3, 1 and 2, the Phillips translation. 1 John 3, 1 and 2 says, "Consider the incredible love that the Father has shown us in allowing to be called children of God." Hallelujah. And that's not just what we are called, but what we are. You need to get that down deep inside of you, that you are now a child of God. That He is the author of your story. He's the finisher of your story now. You need to flip that script, and you need to start saying, you know what? I don't care if you've been saved for 50 years, 60 years. You can still flip the script and get even closer to God than you've ever been in your life. Amen. He goes on to say, "Our heredity on the Godward side is no mere figure of speech, which explains why the world will no more recognize us than it recognized Christ. Oh, dear children of mine, forgive the affection of an old man. Have you realized it? Here and now, we are God's children." You're not going to be God's child when you go to heaven. It's today. Amen? This day. You have to win this day knowing that you are God's child. And this is your new story, and this is your new script. We don't know what we shall become in the future. We only know that if reality were to break through, we should reflect His likeness, for we should see Him as He really is. Hallelujah. This is our backstory now. How we live the rest of our lives becomes the rest of the story. There's a saying around that's been around for a while that says, "You're the only Bible some people will ever read." The question I want to ask you this morning is, you're a good translation or not? Work in progress. Amen. Aren't we all? We all? We can rewrite that story. Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll close with this. Ephesians chapter 2. You know, I look back on that night in February of 1984 when I made Jesus the Lord of my life, and my story flipped totally. Amen? My story changed. My kids' story changed. My grandchildren's story changed. All of that. Amen? Praise God. So thankful. But the story's not over yet. Amen? God's still got things for us to do. God's still calling us closer and more intimate with Him each and every day. We're not finished. I'm not finished. We just need to keep going. Ephesians 2, 19 and 20 through 22, the Amplified Version says, "Therefore, you are no longer outsiders, exiles, migrants, and aliens, excluded from the rights of citizens, but now you share citizenship with the saints, God's own people, consecrated and set apart for Himself, and you belong to God's own household." Glory to God. "You are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself, the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole structure is joined, bound, welded together harmoniously, and it continues to rise, grow, increase into a holy temple in the Lord, a sanctuary dedicated, consecrated, and sacred to the presence of the Lord." You are to keep growing. You are to keep developing. That's part of your story. Amen? We are all part of the citizenship of God. Just because we're not perfect doesn't mean that we're excluded from the family of God or from the citizenship of God. It just means that we're human. We're never going to be perfect until we go home to be with the Lord. Amen? But we're growing and we're developing this temple, all of us. You know, you need to look in the mirror and say, "I'm a temple. I'm a temple of the most holy God." Amen? Because of who's on the inside of you, that you belong to God. You're part of His family. You're His kid. Wouldn't you do everything you could to help your kids succeed and grow? Amen? Well, 99% of parents would. There's those few outliers that everybody wants to point out. But that's not... I want my kids to succeed, man. I want my grandkids to succeed. But more importantly, I want them to be in the kingdom of God. I want them to worship God and to serve God. Hallelujah. Finishing up there, he says, "In Him and in fellowship with one another, you yourselves also are being built up into this structure with the rest, to form a fixed abode, a dwelling place of God, in, by, and through the Holy Spirit," or through the Spirit. Glory to God. If you want to flip the script, you have to know your new story. Amen? You got to get into the Word. You got to know your name. Amen? Got to know who you are. Got to know whose you are. Praise the Lord. God wants to do great things in your life. Why? Because the Word says so. We read it in Ephesians chapter 3. You may feel insignificant. You may feel underprepared or that you can't do that. But just here to tell you. You think it's a coincidence that Brother Clint was talking about how do you talk to somebody about eternity? And today I'm talking about you can do anything. Amen? You say, "Well, I don't know if I can do that or not." Yes, you can. We want to see revival at Wild Church and in Bowersville. "Well, we don't know if we can share that with people." Yes, you can. Amen? We believe that God's a God of miracles, and He's a God of healing, and He's a God of deliverance. Can we share that? Yeah, you better be sharing it. Because that's who we are, as children of God. Amen? We need to flip the script. We've got the best news going. Amen? We serve a God who wants to take you into His family, no matter how rotten your family may have been. He wants to say, "You know what? I did everything for you. I can bring you into my family, and I can change. I can rock your world." Amen? He did it for me. He'll do it for you. Amen? Because the Word says He's not a respecter of persons. He doesn't play favorites. Amen? So we need to get a hold of that. We need to change our story. Amen? Maybe so. I've got a pretty good story so far. Only gets better.
Yeah.
Amen. Just close that on your life so far and go with the sequel. It's going to be better. Amen. Say, well, I've been doing this. I've been serving God for 40 years and things are pretty good. Well, they're just going to get better. Time to flip the script.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you and we praise you for your word. And Lord, we thank you and praise you that you are such a gracious, loving Father. And Lord, I thank you and I praise you, Father, for just flipping the script for us in our lives, that we become part of your story, that we become part of your family. And Lord, I thank you and I praise you for each person here, that we just take the things that we've heard today. Lord, the Holy Spirit would just bring them to our remembrance, just encourage us in those areas where we need to be encouraged, just to strengthen us in those areas where we need to be strengthened. And Lord, I thank you and praise you that the Holy Spirit just leads us and guides us and directs us. And Father, that's my prayer over this message today, that it would just stick with us, Lord. That we would be reminded today and tomorrow and Wednesday and next Friday, Lord, that we need to flip that script. We need to win that day. Forget what's happened. Forget the future. Just concentrate on that day. I thank you for that. Praise you for that. And Lord, I just give you the glory for that. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.